It doesn't hurt to give people a hand because he knows he's doing it for God and God anoints. And I was really glad to work with Pastor Corey this week. Man, some rich messages. Amen. And it was just a great week. I enjoyed the just the kindness and love that so many of you showed to us. I'm not going to, you know, when everything started, I had this sermon I was going to preach on how you don't want to have a divided heart. And God kind of checked me on that and said, no, I want you to share something different. Hopefully I won't be too long tonight, but I'm going to share what's on my heart because I think it's important tonight to hear this. Because it's been such a good week. There are many here tonight, and many have already left, who have expressed the fact that they've had some victories this week. It's been a good week. The altars had many people there, and I also think there have been victories when it wasn't at the altar, when people, God was just working in the camp this week. You could feel his presence. You could just feel it. So with that in mind, I'm going to share a little bit from my morning Bible study, just a little bit. Because as we go home, as we leave this place, Satan, well, before I say that, I want to talk about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. But before I do that, I want to share a slide with you that I shared every morning, June 6, 1944, D-Day. President Eisenhower was writing, he wrote a letter to the troops, and I know that our troops were scared, many of them. I remember when I went to Vietnam. I did two tours. If I haven't met you before, I'll share that with you tonight. I did two tours in Vietnam. My first tour, I was only 18 years old, just barely 18. And I can tell you, when I landed in Da Nang, I was scared. And I'd been through Marine Corps boot camp, and I'd been through all the staging, and I'd been trained, and I went through jungle warfare training, but I didn't go to the jungle. You see all the movies about the jungle. I was in the northern part of Vietnam, right on the DMZ. I was in the mountains. If you've been to Southern California, it almost looks the same. And when I landed there at Da Nang, I was scared. But when they said, I was with 3rd Marine Division, and they were heading to a place called Red Beach, and they had us all together in this big kind of a staging area, and all of a sudden, the guy said, got some news for you. Two of you are not going to go to Red Beach. You're going to go to Dong Ha. And he said, could I have Corporal Jones and PFC Harmon up front right now? And so I went up front, and they said, you're going to FLSG Bravo, which is supportive to 3rd Marine Division, but it's up at a place called Dong Ha. So, of course, when they dismissed us, we ran over to the map, you know, and we wanted to see, and we were in Da Nang, and all of a sudden we went right on a DMZ. And so I can tell you, this was a funny story, because there was two guys that came in, and they looked like they'd really been through the war. I mean, they were a mess. And, you know, we were all still spitting polish. You know, we just got there. I mean, my jungle boots hadn't even got dirty yet. And when I got there, these two guys, they came in, and they were talking to all the guys. And we said, where are you guys stationed? They said, well, we're up at Dong Ha. And I said, oh, what are you, a grunt? No, we're truck drivers. And I thought, oh my goodness, if truck drivers look like that. So when I got on that C-130 and I headed up to Dong Ha, I can just tell you, I was scared. Only 18, just a baby. I mean, just a baby. And I can just think about what was going through those troops' minds. Susan, that was part of us all week, her dad landed at Normandy, and he was wounded, and he lived and came home. She said she was glad, because if he hadn't, she wouldn't have been born. But General Eisenhower, if you know anything about Normandy, this was the largest military operation in history. Still is to this day. They bombarded the shore, the Navy did, and then 13,000 paratroopers went in behind the lines, and then 156,000 men stormed the beach. 156,000. And so Eisenhower wrote this letter because most of these young American soldiers and had never been in combat. And they were going to be fighting against a fierce enemy who was battle-hardened. So General Eisenhower wrote this letter, and this is what he said. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. You can go ahead and shut that slide down. We've been studying the armor of God all week, and we've been looking at each piece and how important it was. It was funny how each morning I probably said, this is the most important piece of the armor. The key is you have to have on the whole armor. Can't just have part of it. I'm not going to get into my lessons again, but I'll say this. When Paul wrote to the church, he said this, finally. He said, you're going to be in a battle against an enemy. He said, if flesh and blood was our enemy, we could handle it. But he said, you're going to be fighting an enemy who's from the heavenly realms. You're going to be fighting Satan. And he said, and Satan has a methodia. That's the Greek. He has a strategy. He has plans. He knows exactly where to attack you. Now, the reason I'm saying all that tonight, and I don't think this will be a real long sermon, but I'm hoping this is to be an encouraging sermon, because it has encouraged me over the years. I mean, I haven't preached this that many times, but it's encouraged me. Because when you go home and I go home, this has been a victorious week for me. You guys didn't know this, but I had some major health problems, and not too long ago, I passed out twice when I was going to preach at a church, and I was filling in for a pastor who was in the hospital, and I ended up being in the same hospital as that pastor. And Kathy told me, but I did preach that morning. It was Palm Sunday. I said, it was just this Palm Sunday. I said, no, I got to preach, babe. After she had screamed for help in the elevator in the hotel, and they gave me all that water, she had to drive me to the church. We got to the church, and I got up, and I think since I know Palm Sunday well, I was on autopilot. You know what I mean? I preached, but she was scared the whole time I was going to kill over. But as soon as I got done with the sermon and we went out in the parking lot, poof, I passed out again. So they took me to Indiana Health Hospital there in Lafayette, and they kept me overnight, and couldn't get my blood pressure up. It was real low and all those things. Well, since then, they've changed my medications and a lot of things have happened. And I got to fill in for a pastor 3 weeks before I came here because he had a heart attack and I was filling in for him. And that was a test. And this was really a test to see if I still had the stamina and the anointing that I needed to have to go on. And I can tell you, after this week, I feel like God has still got a way to use me, and I say praise the Lord. I thank God for his faithfulness. Amen? So this has been a victorious week for me. It's been a victory just to be with you and feel your love. But here's the deal. When you go home, when you go away from this kind of fellowship and this kind of people that are here to pray for you and be with you, there are going to be times when you might find yourself in a valley. I know there will be. There's no doubt that the enemy's going to attack anyone that has victory. Because I believe when you have momentum and God is working in your life, that's when the enemy attacks you even more. So when you go home, I want you to let this message be an encourager, all right? And I will just start this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world could be saved. I say, praise the Lord. John 3:16 it really is the heartbeat of the gospel. In this one verse, it reveals the width and the length and the height and the depths of God's love for you and me. And I say, praise the Lord. And Scripture consistently reinforces this truth. I think I said this either in one of my sermons this week or in one of the lessons that I taught. But Romans 5:8 is one of my favorite verses. How many of you are glad that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us? I don't know about you, but I am so glad that while I was still a sinner, he died for me. I'm glad for his prevenient grace. I'm glad for his love. I'm glad that he loves each and every one of us. And tonight, I want to share something that I just want to lift you up. It probably won't be a real long sermon, but I'm hoping it's from the heart and it goes from my heart to your heart. You see, aren't you glad that God's love is not fragile? Aren't you glad that God's love is not conditional? Aren't you glad that God's love is not dependent on our performance? Aren't you glad tonight that God's love is anchored in his character and not our worthiness? I say, thank you, Jesus. I believe John 3:16 really tells me just how much God loves me. And I'm hoping tonight, as I share this with you, you can go from this place with a little bit better understanding about how much God loves you. And as you face the journey ahead, because I do not believe Satan might attack, I believe he will attack. And I believe he's battle-hardened, and I believe he will fight savagely. His methodia, his strategy, his plans, but greater is he, folks, that's in you and me than he that is in the world. So from John 3:16, I want to share just a few things. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. That's the first thing where you look at the word of God in John 3:16 and you realize we're so unworthy. The first thing you have to understand is when it says, for God so loved, and the Greek is, for God so loved the cosmos. It's not talking about the planet or the forest or the trees. It's talking about you and me who are fallen in sin and broken and shattered and so unworthy. And yet we're the object of his love. The reason Jesus came was for you. The reason he came was for me. I take it to heart when I look at the cross and I hear my Savior say, Father, forgive them. Wow. And in that moment when all the sin was placed on him who was perfect and knew no sin, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he had my sins on his person. He had yours. Listen to me. That's just how much he loves you. Don't let Satan lie to you. We are the object of his love and his mercy and his grace. It's you and me, a fallen, rebellious race, a fallen, rebellious people. We are marred by sin. And within ourselves, we are incapable of earning God's favor. We just can't do it. We are so sinful. See that? I forget the book. There was a book called The Scandal of Grace. Let me say this. This is the scandal of grace. Even though I failed, God does not repel his love and keep it from me. It reveals the magnitude of his love. Redemption is offered not to the deserving, but the broken. Aren't you glad? Listen, Satan's going to attack. That's why I encourage you, if you weren't part of the lessons this week at the Bible study, please hear me. Put on the whole armor of God. This battle we're in, if you're a person who believes in scriptural holiness, that's been what I've been preaching about all the week. The journey of life, from the time you get saved to the time you go to heaven, that's the journey of sanctification. That's scriptural holiness. And on that journey, aren't you glad God gave us the armor of God so that the enemy has no chance against us? And I say, praise the Lord. Redemption is not offered to those who deserve it. I'm going to say that again. But it's offered to the broken. And so when Satan attacks me, and he does, I can just celebrate God's promise to me that even though I was lost, now I'm found. Even though I was an alien, now I'm his child. Even though I was an outcast, now I'm part of the family. I was broken, I was shattered, I was as lost as you can be, but Jesus Christ came and died for me. And you can say the same thing, praise the Lord. And through my faith, got that shield of faith, through my faith, God does a transformative work in my soul. And I receive what I could not achieve on my own. There's nothing in this world except the blood of Jesus. And aren't you glad today that even though you did not deserve it, even though we did not deserve it, for God so loved the world. So that's the first thing you take out of John 3:16. God's love transcends every barrier. Some of us, we got a lot of shame in our life. We feel guilt. We feel failure. Some people are still in rebellion for whatever reason. But God doesn't love you because you're worthy. He loves you because he is love. I say praise the Lord. The second thing about it is, listen to this. For God so loved the cosmos. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Yes, the object of his love is not worthy. But oh my goodness, the cost of his love is tremendous. He didn't just give some kind of sacrifice that was unimportant. No, he gave his one and only Son. And I don't know about you, but I just love Christmas. Do you love Christmas? Now, my wife loves Christmas. Oh my goodness. And I understand Tab loves Christmas. And around my house, it's Christmas when it's Christmas. Yet talk to her to get the rest of the story because she knows karate and I'm not going to go into detail tonight. Oh, I just got myself in trouble. I love Christmas. You know why I love Christmas? It's not just because I get gifts. See, I have 3 sons, 7 grandkids, have a wife that loves me. Oh, I just, don't you love to get gifts on Christmas? I do. I love to give them. I love to get them. But the main reason I love Christmas is the reason we have Christmas. We have Christmas for Easter. The reason we have that baby in that manger was the man on the middle cross. The reason we can celebrate what God has done for us. Oh, I just love Christmas. Because I'll tell you what's coming just a few months later. It's a cross where he dies for me, and it's an empty tomb where he rose for me. I say praise the Lord. He gave his one and only Son. Love is measured, it really is, by what it gives. And I'm not talking about monetary things. The song Charles sang tonight, you know, that happens to be one of those songs I'm talking about, Thank You. Now, I love that song, but there was one day that song just, I was pastoring a church, you know, and I'd been there 13 years, and Dr. Carter, you remember Kevin Farmer. Well, that guy could sing, man. And I'll tell you what, Kathy and I were getting ready to leave to come to Georgia to plant a church, and the church, they weren't ready for us to leave, and I got to tell you, I wasn't ready to leave. I drove an hour the night before I resigned and drove all the way to Kokomo, if you know where that is, from Gas City, and all the way I cried, oh God, please let me stay here, please. The church was thriving, people were getting saved, and people loved Kathy and me. It was a great place to be, and yet God said, nope. Wayne's mom and dad, they were also part of the church. Dan Bosworth, Wayne's dad, was my youth pastor. We were young back then. He was a great youth pastor. Pastor Anita, she was on staff. She was such a great staff member. They went to Georgia with us. Together, the four of us left this thriving church to go where God wanted us to go. And that song you sang, Charles, that day, this is what the church did to me. They had Kathy and me come up front and stand. And I don't know, there were hundreds of people in that service that morning. It was in the new building, Wayne, that we built. And I mean, that place was packed. But we also had the first service in the old building, so I had to go through this twice. So I'm standing up front with Kathy, and Kevin Farmer gets up and starts singing, thank you for giving to the Lord. I thought I was at my own funeral. I'm standing up there, and people are walking by, and they're crying. Wow. You know why they were crying? Because they knew that Kathy and I loved them. And we knew that they loved us, and all of us together knew that God loved us. Because God had given us His one and only Son. You see, nothing else could have paid the price. The cost of salvation is not symbolic. It is the sacrifice of Jesus. And it was the only thing that could bring full payment for your sins and mine. And for that I say, thank you, Lord. It brings restoration in our relationships. It restores our relationship with God, and if we're willing, and we should be as holiness folks, it restores our relationships with one another. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? This was the ultimate demonstration of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Can you with me tonight say, thank you, Jesus? Aren't you glad for what He did for you? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we get from God. The crucifixion gives us the clearest window we'll ever have to see the heart of God. God shows us what love looks like when He refuses to give up on us, even though we are unworthy. And the result of His love is eternal life. When I talk about eternal life, I know most of us want to slip forward real quick, you know, out here somewhere. I mean, there's two things I want to have happen. I wrote my own obituary once. And you know, I was just doing it they wanted us to do that when I took preacher's life and work in college, and I was learning about how to do funerals. So I wrote my own obituary. This is what I wrote. Joe Harmon died today. He was 107. That's the first thing I want to see happen. So that means I got 40 more years. Because I'm 77 right now. Am I right? I'm 77 right now, or is it only 30 more? Whatever it is, I want to, you know, I never said math was my, I have a doctorate, but it's not in math. Okay? Now listen to me. The other thing that's going to happen is the Washington Redskins are going to win another world championship. I don't know about that one. But I'll tell you something. That restoration, that glory of God, I don't have to wait till I get there. I mean, when I step over here, I'm going to be in heaven. That's the end of this holiness journey. Glorification. I'm going to step over. But for the rest of the journey, starting right now, going forward, I have that restoration right now. Aren't you glad that God puts that eternal hope into your soul now? I say praise the Lord. One thing I love, you know, I think I told you in my sermon the first night when I preached on scriptural holiness and we talked about the journey, is that John Wesley, you know, at Aldersgate Street, that's where he shouted and prayed and he said, I know that God has saved me. That's called, for us who are holiness folks, that's called the doctrine of assurance. That's why I got kicked out of the Anglican Church. He absolutely believed he was saved. Well, I'm telling you this, if you have asked God to forgive you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and especially if you have surrendered yourself to Him and let Him fill you with His perfect love, you listen, you are saved. You are entirely sanctified. And if you haven't reached that sanctification part of the journey yet, I'm praying for you because that's even better. But the fact that I'm saved, Satan can lie all day. See, Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. He, as I said this week in our Bible studies, he opposes God. He deceives and disheartens and causes Christians to be discouraged. And he wants to destroy the church. That means Satan is our enemy. He's well trained. His minions are well trained. His methodia, he knows exactly how to attack. But I say this, praise God that God has restored my relationship with him. It began the day I asked him to forgive me, and it will last forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Aren't you glad? God's love for you and me, it's qualitative. You can actually see, because it's marked by these things, peace. You can have peace with God. I say praise the Lord. You not only have peace, you have hope. You have a hope that will never disappoint you. You also have, and I love this, the fact, and I like the way the message says it, you are changed from the inside out. He transforms you. I say praise the Lord. It's relational. You're walking with God, and He knows all about you. He knows everything about you, and you can enjoy Him all the rest of the days of your life. I'll tell you what, I have loved this camp meeting. I got a little closer to God this week, and I say praise the Lord. I know when I go home, the enemy's going to attack me. But number one, I wrote that in my notes a certain way, and I want to say it again that way, so just hang with me. I'm finishing, but I had it in my notes, and I want to quote it exactly the way I wrote it. When it comes to God's love for me and you, here it is. When doubts arise, and they will, Scripture, God's Word, anchors us in what is unchanging. And here it is. God loved me even when I was unlovable. But now that I'm His child, oh my goodness. Jesus was the first one in Scripture that said, Abba, Father. I'm glad today I can say, Abba, Father. I know that He loved me when I was unlovable. And now I'm His child. Secondly, God gave what was most precious, His only Son, to save me. God gave His Son to save you. Don't let Satan lie to you. He's an enemy. He's our foe. But greater is He. And finally, God secured my future as I walk in Him by faith. So when you leave this camp, whether it's tonight or in the morning, and you go back home, make John 3:16 a powerful part of your life. God loves you. He gave His Son for you. And He's made a way for you to live forever. I say, thank you, Lord. Stand with me tonight. Tab, do you have anything special you just like to play for us to go away encouraged? Or do you have let all who come behind me find me faithful or not? Listen, here's a key to it. See, all week long I wanted this song played as part of my sermons, and we just never got around to it. We talked about it several times. I especially wanted it played the other night when I talked about the fact that we want to make sure that if we're in strange waters, we get out of those strange waters. James said, you can't have good things coming out of your mouth and bad things coming out of the same mouth. He said, no, it cannot be. You can't have fresh water and you can't have salt water. Because if you have salt water, it all becomes salt water. And when we as holiness people get into certain situations, we find ourselves where we let Satan, you know, he's like a puppet master. We'll say things to glorify God, and then we'll say things that we shouldn't. That's strange waters when it comes to holiness. And then I also was going to preach an undivided heart tonight, and it would have been perfect for it. But here's the key. I want you to listen to the words. You're not going to have this on the screen, right? Okay, I want you to listen to the words. There's two verses in this song. This was written by Steve Green. It's powerful. The first one is going to talk about God's love for you and your love. The second verse here, I'll just tell you what it says. After all the things that I've done have come and gone, and all that I've left behind, my children, my grandchildren will sift through those things. And as they sift through the story of my life, may they find me faithful. That's a key way that God, I want to be found faithful, don't you? Listen to this song first. Pay close attention to this second verse. How many of you have kids? How many of you have grandkids? I'm going to say how many are going to join me. How many have great-grandkids? Anybody have great-great-grandkids? Nah, I guess we people with great-grandkids, we're about as old as we're going to get, Charles. And I have six of them. I want them to remember me. And as they sift through all the things of my life, they'll know that I was faithful. And in me, they'll see Jesus. Go ahead and sing that for us, and then we'll close.
I'm on a journey of a narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weak. Their lives a stirring testament.
Those are the people who went before
God's
us.
God's sustaining grace, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave behind. Let us leave behind the heritage, the faithfulness of godly lives.
Listen, go ahead.
Oh, may all who come behind me find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lies we live inspire them to obey. Oh, all who come. around behind me, find me faithful.
Now listen to the second verse.
After all the hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that we discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to
God.
The
I want to do that.
We must find. And may all who
can you sing that with us?
Find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives that we inspire them to obey. And may all who come behind us find us.
Let's sing
faithful.
That one more time. Let's get to the first person. May all who come behind me find me faithful. And if you need to, the altar's always still open. You got family, you got people, you want to make sure that you're leaving the kind of heritage, the kind of truth they need to hear. Let's sing it. Go.
Oh, may all who come behind me find me faithful. May the fire of my devotion light their way. May the footprints that I leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind me find me faithful.
We're going to close. I wasn't even planning on having an altar call tonight. Keep playing. I'm not going to try and drag anybody down here. But I'm going to the altar. Listen, I'm living as close a life as I know how. And I know as I walk in faith, if I'm going the wrong way, Christ will show me. But I got kids. And I got grandkids. And I got great-grandkids. And I got other friends in my life. I want to make sure that they find me faithful. That they see Jesus in my attitudes, in what I say, and what I do. And most of all, I want them to see the love of Jesus through me. So I'm going to go down there, and I'm only going to pray for a couple minutes, and I'm just going to lay it at the foot of the cross. If you feel the same way, you can sit on the front pew or you can kneel. If you really feel like you just feel that you want to make sure that you're going to live the kind of life that's faithful. The altar's open, folks. I'm going to go down there myself and I'm going to pray. Come and join me if you want to. We can either sing that again or you can just keep playing. Whatever you want to do, I'm leaving it up to you.
May you all who come behind me find me faithful. May the fire of their devotion light their way. May the footprints that I leave lead them to believe, inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind me find me faithful.
Tab, why don't you pray for us tonight, would you? Pray for me especially. How many of you want him to pray for you especially? Just raise your hand. That means we all want some special prayer.
Okay, Father God, we just take a moment to pause. And Lord, you've heard our hearts this evening as we've sang this song. It's about passing this faith along to our family, Lord. And may the Jesus they see be the Jesus that you want them to see in us.
Amen.
Lord, may
That's
we be
it.
Faithful. May we live out what we say we believe, Lord.
Amen.
Empower us through the Holy Spirit. May we remember that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you that may we declare the praises of you who called us out of darkness and into life. May that be our theme as we leave this place.
I pray for myself tonight.
Lord, we pray for that full armor of God over us, Lord, as we leave. Thank you for these dear folks, Lord, who have sown into me this week. And Lord, I pray that the music and things that you've used me for has encouraged them. And we just look and long for your appearing, Father God, but we know that until then, may we be about your business, allowing you to work in and through us. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this camp. Thank you for these individuals, the families, the lives that they represent, Lord. We pray for those that haven't yet to believe in you and yet to be saved, Lord. We pray for them. Their hearts would be open to the gospel. They'd be radically changed, transformed. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wayne, you have anything else? We'll turn it over to you. One last thing. Join me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do you believe it? All right. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. Well, that concludes our services at Taylor County Camp for 26. Yes. Brother Jones would like to say something, word of testimony, before we close. We love Carol. We love Miss Carol. She is our prayer partner for the coaching team at WGM. And so she prays for all of our trainings. Every missionary that goes through the training is covered by Carol and her prayers. Thank you for that. Send our love back. And I will probably see her in just a couple months, hopefully, Lord willing. Well, so this is our last service for Taylor County Camp. So we're going to shut the grounds down for the year. But the community of Taylor County Camp goes with you. Amen. Carry it with you to your local church, to your local community. The love and the closeness with Christ that you got while you were here goes with you from this place. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You're loved, and we're praying for you throughout the year. Thank you for another great year at Taylor County Camp. And we're going to stay, and we're going to pick up the books and the cushions and all that good stuff, like we always do, but you are appreciated and you're loved. You're dismissed.